working in our hearts and lives. Thank you for the resurrection of the Son of God. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, if the dead rise not, may we eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Lord, we have no reason to live for you in this life apart from the resurrection. But because Christ has been raised from the dead, Lord, it changes everything in our lives. Help us to give you the glory due to your name. And now as we talk about the state of the church and rejoice over so many things you've done and look forward to some of the things that you will do, I pray you'd give us grace, give us good ears to listen, good hearts to discern your will, and help me be able to communicate the best I can, Lord. Give me that liberty, but not license. So we thank you for this time in Christ's name. Amen. All right. We call this the annual state of the church. We've been doing these at least as far back as the first year I became the pastor. So I enjoy doing this. It's a time when we get together as a church family, usually in the summertime, and we talk about where we've been for the last 12 or so months and where we're going, or some ideas, things that we've talked about. The things that we talk about today, some of it's in stone. We've already mentioned a few things, but not all of it. Some of it we just ask you to pray about. You know, would the Lord lay this on our hearts as a congregation? So this morning is very informational. I don't deal with a lot of philosophy, though I'll make one note on it. Some of this stuff we've already talked about, so I'm just going to mention it, like the Super Roads Kid Club. And if you feel like you're drinking from a fire hydrant, then I'm doing my job well, because that's my intention. It's highly informational today, and rather than do this over the next 3 months, we pack it all into about, all the information into about 45 or 50 minutes. All right, let me start with that one note on philosophy that we always start with at the State of the Church, which you see this all over the property. You see it on a bulletin board, on our stationery, on my email. The gospel changes everything. The gospel changes everything is something of a philosophy here at Suba Road. And I believe the gospel changes everything for at least three reasons. Number one, I have a verse that tells me this. And this one lays it out so nicely, doesn't it? If any man be in Christ, that's the gospel. He is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Look at that language of change. Changes. Now get this. Behold, all things are become new. Isn't that beautiful? The gospel changes everything. The verse tells us that. Number two, we have all kinds of examples in the Word of God that when people come in contact with Jesus, they come in contact with the plan of God, that their lives are changed by the power of the gospel. Sexual sinners, like the woman caught in adultery, are changed. White-collar criminals, like Zacchaeus. Religious zealots, like Paul. Political sinners, like Simon the Zealot. Political oppressors, like Nebuchadnezzar. And so, examples in the Bible of people changed by the gospel. And number three, this is not just good on paper. The gospel changes people in real life. He's changed my life. Christ has changed so many of you, all of you that are members of Suba Road. The gospel changes everything. Now, if we believe the gospel changes everything, that means the gospel is the root of all change. A heart will change not by us yelling at that heart, not by us barking moral commands at that heart, not by us enforcing political legislation on the heart. The heart will change by the power of the gospel. And out of that change that takes place in a heart, then comes a changed life. Paul talks about this in Ephesians, where the first three chapters, we have things like, he has quickened you, right? And then we see resurrection life in the last three. And then Galatians, where we see all about the gospel, and then the fruit of the Spirit comes in chapter 5. The gospel is bringing change to the church there. And so if the gospel changes everything, number one, we resist the temptation to be a moralistic church. That doesn't mean we don't preach righteousness and morals, but it always has to flow from our relationship with God. And number two, we resist the temptation to be that politically driven church. There is a time and a place where we deal with an issue here and there, but we're not driven politically. We're driven by the gospel. When people drive down Suba Road and see Suba Road Baptist Church, I don't want the community thinking, wow, that's the Republican church. That's the Democrat church. I want them thinking that's the church of God that believes the gospel. And even if we don't believe the gospel, we know they believe the gospel. We want to be marked by people who have faith in Christ. If the gospel changes everything, then 1 Corinthians 8 needs to be a reality. We are always breaking down barriers to the gospel. Paul said, I have certain rights, but the message of the gospel is more important than my rights. So I won't take the pay, or I'll set aside this right or this idea that I have for the greater good of the gospel and the body of Christ. All of us should constantly be thinking along those lines. What can I do to promote the cause of the gospel, not my own agenda, not my own ideas? The gospel is going to bring a deep humility in all of us as we deal with other people. We are not single-issue voters. We're not parking on trivial things. We're not trying to gain one up on each other. It's going to cause humility in all of us. The gospel changes us that way. And I'll give you one last thing. The gospel is also our administrative guide. Many of the decisions we make at Super Road, it's not what we want and what we don't want. When we ask questions like, should we do pews or should we do chairs? That sounds so trivial. But we ought to be asking the question, which one will promote the gospel best? Will one of these be a hindrance to the gospel? I don't want to talk about pews and chairs. I'm just making a simple example there. What should the sign look out front? What should it look like? What should the building look like? We want a building, right, that's not so ostentatious that when people walk in, it detracts from the gospel. But we want something that represents the gospel well. These are all questions we want to ask as administratively. All right, so two questions. Where have we been and where are we going? Two simple questions. Where have we been over the last 6 or 12 months? And I'll mark it out on the slide as you see. And let's go real quick over these five things. Clerical, spiritual, financial, program, property. Here's some things we've seen around Super Road. First of all, clerical. We give these numbers once a year, and it's usually at the state of the church. Attendance at Super Road, if you're curious about this stuff, Sunday morning average is 452, and that would be over the last 12 months. In the auditorium here, there's usually a little under 400 people, 360 to 400, depending on the given service. We've grown since 2004, 2005, probably added about 140 people. It's been healthy. What I like about the growth at Super Road is it's very steady growth. It hasn't been everybody coming at once, but it's been steady enough where we can help people get involved in the ministry and minister to them. Sunday evening average, I got two numbers there, 228 and 344, thanks to the secretary, Mary, who crunches all these numbers and gets them to us. It's difficult to average because the school year is a little bit different, of course, than the summer. So the 282 is the summer average in the evening, and the regular average would be 344. Sunday school, we do about 370, and so we're glad for that. Overall, numbers are somewhat close to where they were last year, and that's encouraging. I do say this every year that I put the numbers up. In fact, I cut and paste this, okay, because I think it's this important. I don't think we should put too much stock in numbers. I think we should take note of them. I'm going to tell you why in a minute. You've got to know how many chairs to put out. We've got to know how many Sunday school rooms we need. But we don't want to measure our success or our righteousness by numbers. Frankly, I don't like to sit around and talk about how many you're running, brother, you know, and things like that. It's just not profitable because a very big church can glorify God or can, frankly, grieve the Holy Spirit. And a very small church of 20, 25 people can bring much glory to God or grieve the Spirit of God. So we don't want to mark any kind of success by numbers. What we do look for at Super Road, and the reason I like to track things like this, is we want to look for an active membership. If God sends us 500 people, we want all 500 active in the life of the church. If God sends 50, we want all 50 active in the life of the church. What we don't want is 1,000 people that are on the roll and only 250 people involved in the membership. And so we want an active church membership, active church membership. And we do have a very active church membership. Every year, just as a note, we do put people on the inactive list if they have not been faithfully worshiping at Super Road. If you're out for that 3 to 6 month period, at the end of the year, we call, we admonish, we try to get them to come worship with us again. But if they refuse, we do vote them on the inactive list. We do that to, again, number one, ensure that our membership is active, those that are committed here. And number two, we don't want to give a false sense of assurance. I don't want anybody saying, well, I'm a member of Super Road, so I must be right with God. And we all know how that, you know, overwhelms the overwhelming tone in a lot of southern communities. We don't want that. So we want to make sure we're keeping the rolls clean. Just as a note of encouragement, lately, the last 4 months or so, we've seen a lot of unchurched visitors. And I am grateful for that. You guys are reaching out. You're doing a great job. And I want to encourage the members, and even if you're a regular attender at Super Road, reach out to the visitors. I've said this before. The easiest place to evangelize is between these four walls. You know, we have a lot of lost people that come to services here. They come from across the street. They drive down and see the sign. You invite them. You won't believe this, but they came to church to hear about. You can say it. Jesus. Very good. Jesus. Well, thank you. Is that... Tell them about Jesus. This is the easiest place to evangelize between these four walls. So when somebody comes to church, you don't know who they are. Find out who they are. What are you doing? Where are you from? What brought you here? We're under this impression in Greenville that everybody comes from a church background. Everybody knows about the gospel. They're just looking for a program for their kids. It's just not true. We get a lot of people at Super Road that frankly are unsaved, and a lot of them have very deep spiritual needs. Don't assume that people that come here are just looking for a new church or something. That happens, and that's great. We'll minister there. But we want to be especially on the lookout for anybody that walks in that to make sure if they're not, if their heart's not saved, we want to make sure we're sharing the love of Christ. Everybody, but we need to especially be on guard against those deep spiritual needs. The next category I call spiritual, for lack of a better term, probably should fall under clerical. This year we added 22 new members. We added 21 last year, and so 43 over the last couple of years. These are new members who are over the age of 18. It doesn't count kids or college students. We do emphasize membership here at Super Road. Okay, we believe strongly that membership is implied in the New Testament. I know a lot of people just visit for a long time and they don't see the importance of membership. So here's my membership philosophy here, just in a nutshell. I don't know how we can practice all of the verses in the New Testament apart from some kind of church membership. Because people will say, well, show me a verse in the Bible that says you got to join a church. And I would look back and say, I hear you. I know what you're saying. But we can't practice all of the verses in the New Testament without some kind of church membership. For example, I as a pastor am told to watch the souls of the sheep, right? I can't watch the souls of some 100,000 Christians in Greenville. Something has to mark out who we're going to watch and who we're really going to care for. We are told, as God's people, we are told to care for the widow indeed, which is a widow that can't take care of themselves. Do you know how many widows indeed there are in our community, genuine Christians? There's a lot. We need some mechanism that marks off which ones we're going to identify and really pour ourselves into. Things like accountability. We're told to admonish each other, practice church discipline. I don't know how you do that without some kind of membership. We're told to submit. The Bible says in Hebrews, submit to those that have the rule over you. I don't know how you as a Christian can submit to those that have the rule over you without some kind of mechanism to tell you who's over you. So I don't know how you practice all the verses in the New Testament without membership. This last year, just an FYI, we revamped some of our membership process. I won't go through the whole thing right now, but we created what we call the Prospective Members Class. And that is during Sunday school, where I'll meet with prospective members, people that are thinking about joining. I meet with them two back-to-back weeks during the Sunday school time. And we're going to do that again. We've already done a couple times. I'm going to do it again 8:25 and 9:01. So next week and the following week, if you're interested in being in that class, you can sign up or let me know or just show up to the class. That's fine. But that gives me a chance to share my heart and answer any questions that you may have about the church. That would be the first step towards membership. As an FYI, we added 35 associate members. I think a lot of that has to do with the college ministry that we started. Associate member is someone that's in town for about 9 months, usually a college student, though we do have some adults that are associate members. They live in another place. They just are here a good part of the year, and they're not full members of Super Road, but associate members. So they can maintain their church membership back home and still be a part of the ministry here. All right, a couple of things on financial. Weekly budget here is $13,500. The total giving since January is $16,000. The undesignated is $13,000. If you want to see the figure a different way, here's the weekly. Weekly is $58,500. Total since January is about $71,000. These are round numbers. And undesignated is $56,300. Considering the undesignated with the monthly budget, we've been a touch under budget each week, about 3.5%. I'll say more about that in a moment. We always keep an eye on things when the giving dips even a little bit or edges towards going under budget. Now, some weeks are really good. Last week, we were $8,000 over budget. And so some weeks you're up, some weeks you're down. We have, just to let you know, we have always and will continue to, how do I say this, intentionally inflate a couple of accounts. So there are a couple of accounts where we could easily drop the budget in those areas and it really wouldn't hurt us at all. But we'd prefer not to do that if we can. For example, we put an extra $3,600 towards the principal each month. So a little under $4,000 we have budgeted in above the payment that we would make to the bank because we want to give priority to paying down the loan. So you can cut out, given that $4,000. We'd prefer not to, though. So we keep a close eye on things. To talk a little bit more about money, we have retired. Well, let me start with the central one there. We owe on the property, I give this number every year, just a little under $600,000, $590,000. Church has actually paid off more, I think more than $1 million, at least since I've been here. So great, and we've built a couple buildings and things like that, a couple wings. So that's been good. But we are down to a little under $600,000. I'm going to talk more about this and the other side of the state of the church, but I'd love to see us pay that off. Last year, we paid off $134,000. So this time last year, I gave you a figure of, I don't know, $730,000. And this year, the number is $590,000. Total missions giving over the last 12 months is $100,000. That's a real blessing. I don't know that we've crossed $100,000. Maybe we have in the past, but good to see a lot of action and activity going to missions. That counts what we budget. That counts all going towards missions. One of the things financially that we added this year has been online giving. It's kind of been a big discussion behind the scenes for some time, and we finally took that plunge to offering an opportunity for people to give online. If you're wondering what does online giving look like, about 10% of our overall giving comes from online. So about one in every $10 that comes in comes from online. The best I can tell, I'm sure some that are not in Greenville in our membership give just to listen to some sermons and give something. I'm sure that happens. Most of it comes from our members when they're on vacation or something like that. It's just a convenient way for them to be faithful in their giving if they're not here. So a good bit of that. Just an FYI, there's been a lot of talk over the years about the best ways to do offerings at Suba Road. Do you pass the plate? Do you put a collection box in back and things like that? Now that you're doing online, are you going to stop doing offerings and offertories? The answer is no. I think it's we've talked about putting an offering box in the back. I don't think it's a big deal one way or the other, but we like the idea of passing the plate, really giving it time to reflect on stewardship and things like that. So even with online giving, we're going to continue to do the offering as we've done it for all the years here at Suba Road. The only change on the offering we'll probably make on Wednesday nights, because most giving, almost all the giving comes in on Sunday or online. On Wednesday nights, we might get 20 cents, you know. Praise the Lord for the widow's mite, right? But 20 cents. We may just do something musical during that time and put a box in the back where people can give if they like rather than continuing to do the offering on Wednesday. But Sundays will remain the same. All right, continuing on, where have we been? Let's talk about missions for a few minutes. Number one, we are on year two of new missionaries. Christy Colas, Timothy Sadu, Pablo Pavia down in Peru, who we've supported the second year, and he's about to roll off from church planting. We have a church planting fund I think it's at about $54,000 or $50,000. And the goal there is to save up money where we can support, for a large amount, maybe one or two church planters. And so that fund is growing, and soon enough we'll launch out and put it towards some kind of church planting effort. Missions Conference Fund. We started this 2 years ago. I don't think we've done a mission conference since I've been at Suba Road. And I'm excited to say our first missions conference will be 2014. We already got the wheels turning on that. We've tried to grow the account a little bit so we can do a good job with it rather than just throw something together and call it a missions conference. But 2014, we're planning for that. We've done a lot of regular outreaches. I won't go through all of them, but Greenville Rescue Mission, Shepherd's Gate, Assisted Living, Overcomers. Overcomers Program. Several men from our church go down, and that was with Miracle Hill. They go down Tuesday mornings at 7 to 7:30, and they bring a devotion and a challenge. And one of the things I'm really excited about, the Overcomers Program is where you go in, you get help for some kind of addiction, and then you come out and readjust to joining a church and just becoming a productive member of the community. It's a program by Miracle Hill. We participated in that, and I'm really excited that several men from the Overcomers are regulars here at Suba Road. And if you're one of these from the Overcomers, praise God you're here. We welcome you here. We're glad you're here. You're part of us. I want you to know that. And I want you to feel like part of the family here at Suba Road. And so thank you for being a part of us. Special outreaches, things like CES Summer Club, Neighborhood Mugs. We did a bottle drive for Piedmont Women's. We do our Fall Festival. We did Financial Peace. Did a great job. The Christmas Cantata, and had a number of visitors to the Christmas Cantata. Men for Missions went to the Anchorage. We did a VBS, probably one of the best VBSs that I've seen, just a little part I saw. We did a VBS this summer, and Becky and the team did a fantastic job on that. So thank you for that. A couple other things. Pure Religion is a ministry. It's been started by several people here at Suba Road. And that's a ministry that is a ministry to orphans. Lot falls under that category. It touches on things like caring for moms. It touches on adoption. It touches on issues like abortion and things like that. But the broad umbrella is Pure Religion. You'll see a bulletin board. Make sure you check the bulletin board out. They're in the hallway, and several of our folks are involved in that. You can also see them on Facebook. So appreciate what they're doing. Sermon audio, we just crossed a 200,000 sermon download, and that's good to see. This last 12 months, we put an emphasis on churchwide fellowships. We have scheduled several of them. One of them we're doing tonight. The Pavilion has been and will continue to be a great blessing towards this end. A lot of classes do fellowships and groups and deacons and things like that. But we want to maintain times when the entire church family gets to just hang out together and fellowship with each other. And so we'll do dinner on the grounds. We do pizza nights. And I encourage you to do a few things. Number one, they hate when I say this, but thank Janet and Joanne. Wow, they put a lot of work into this, and I'm so grateful that they do. Great job. Thank you. Number two, please attend. If we have a fellowship, yeah, I know Moe's may taste better than your hot dog, though I don't think it does. Hang out and have a hot dog with us. It's not just about the food, it's about the fellowship, okay? And by the way, the corn dog will kill Moe's, I'm telling you. Hang around tonight and you'll find out. Three is this, especially to the men. Guys, if you could help out a little bit, either we're setting up or tearing down, if you see people carrying tables or things, we don't put out a big call for this, but if you could just help out a little bit, that would really help us move things along. As we've ramped up churchwide fellowships, we've got to ramp up helping just a little bit more. So that would be a blessing to the whole staff if you would do that. College department. Bert Arrowood, Lauren Arrowood, we started a college department last year. I could not say enough about this. I appreciate the sponsors, the kids that have been involved in it. We'll have up to 80 college kids that are a part of this. Our goal is to help the kids integrate in a Suba Road Baptist Church. When you're a college student, we don't just want you to come and learn something from the message. We want you to be a part of the church family. And Bert and Lauren have taken a lot of steps to make that possible. So, youth department. We did a lot with the youth this year. We did a survey of the six or seven most, I'll call it, popular curriculums out there, children's curriculums. Great survey by a committee, and we decided to make a change. We're using Answers in Genesis. this year, because it comes out of that survey that they did. The middle school department, appreciate the Kukles, year one or year two with them, and there, my daughter's now in that. I cannot believe she's in that, 11 years old. She lied to me and told me she'd never turn 11, and here we are, 11. I should add this. We have implemented more formal background checks for working with our minors. We think this is very important. We've always done some kind of background check, but last year we used a national database and one that really screens things real well. So anytime someone works with our minors, they fill out an application, and we actually use a service to do that. We pay the service. We feel like it's just better than we can do in-house. So I think that's helpful. Okay, under property. Besides some of the renovations in the auditorium, things that you can't see, like wires up here that take a lot of time that Kevin's done, so much has taken place under the platforms here. There is so much I could mention, but I'll mention a couple. Number one, pavilion. Amen? I love this. This is such a blessing. I could not praise God enough for that blessing. All the money was donated for that. So the Lord provided a great space for us. And also another donation came in for the tables, and that was a blessing. Several rooms that we built. We built, number one, a little kitchenette. Here's a very bad picture of a very cool kitchenette in the hallway. We built a room where kind of a mom's can go, especially if the young children or a mom nursing a young baby. A children's office down the hall here. A coffee bar that's in the back of the fellowship hall. We took this last year to make a lot of little touches in the church, things that would help. There are several other things that you don't see, like a lot's going on with the HVAC system, which is not inexpensive. As an aging building ages, we got to keep an eye on this stuff. Things like mulch for the playground. Very few of you may know that the retention pond was brought up to standard here this last year, and that was a pretty big project by the trustees. So there's a lot of little things going on behind the scenes by way of with the property. All right, moving along, where are we going? What kind of things should we talk about as we move ahead? Let me talk about financial. Let me talk about the property. Let me talk about program, okay? Just three things. Oh, you know what I missed? I missed under just, oh, yeah, worship. I almost forgot. This is year two of Ken and Beth. Thank you so much for your ministry. This morning was a blessing. Amen. I really appreciate the good singing. And this is year two of Dr. Renfro being with us. I don't think people know how hard it is for a pastor to look at you when you come into an already established church, an already established great music ministry, and say, okay, we're going to do A, B, C, and D, and you know, and you're kind of thrown in the mix of it, handles it so well. And the thing I love about Ken and Beth, they got such a great pastoral touch. Walking around, shaking hands, talking with people, doing a lot of crisis counseling behind the scenes and things like that. So thank you for the good ministry from both of you. I'm very grateful for that. I only had worship up there, so it slipped me. Let me talk about where we're going. I'm going to move rather quickly through this. First of all, financial. Let me make a comment about trends, just big picture trends in charitable giving, okay? I don't know of a single article that is optimistic about charitable giving in the near future or present, okay? And churches are not exempt from these trends. But here's three things that all the articles kind of say feed into this. Number one, we are dealing with an economy that is probably underemployed. Here at Super Road, I would not say our people are unemployed. We haven't had a lot of that. But they are underemployed. The days in Greenville of buying a house and flipping it next week and making $10,000, yeah, for most of us, those days are gone. They were never here for me, but maybe they were for you. A lot of business was going on before 2008 when the housing bubble exploded, and giving everywhere was probably at an all-time high. But in our economy now, with a weaker economy, people don't make the kind of money that they once did. Even here at Super Road, most people are making about maybe 3/4 or 3/5 of the income they made 6 or 7 years ago. So charitable giving is down for that. Number two, the biggest factor is what we call generational. The biggest factor is this. Young people do not give with the same degree of faithfulness as the generation has gone before them. Now, I know you're saying to me, well, that's always been like that. True, but not quite like it is today. Statisticians tell us that probably the most giving generation is the oldest generation right now. And if you look around evangelicalism in the 70s and 80s, the campuses, the buildings, the programs, the gyms, the schools, you know who built those? It's that generation now that's really up there in years. The younger generation, almost across the board, with very few exceptions, is not giving at the same rate of faithfulness, shall I say, as the older generation. There's always been disparity, but there's even more disparity now. Now, the older generation didn't do everything perfect, right? No generation does. But the one thing they were really good at, they were very, very faithful people. And we praise God for that. Faithful with their family, faithful with church attendance, and faithful to give. And again, there's a lot of things that younger people are good at. But faithfulness is giving may not be one of those, which is why all of us should really take this to heart and think, you know, what would God have me do with giving? It's important to be faithful with coming to church and with your family. That's important. Mission in the community, important. But giving to the needs of the gospel is also very important. We need to remember that. Number three, I'm going to say the higher cost of doing ministry. I don't know of a time in the last several decades when the cost of ministry has been this high. It costs a lot to staff people. Technology we're seeing spikes in technology. Legal cost, property, and things like that. The general cost of doing business ministry, it may be an all-time high. So those three things, the economy, generations, cost of ministry, has put charitable giving on tough times. Some people believe that these are just, you know, local trends, like only Presbyterians see this or feel this, or only Baptists. It's pretty much across the board. Virtually every ministry can see these. So at Super Road Baptist Church, I don't know that we've seen these trends hit us too hard. We have not seen radical drops in giving and things like that. Nevertheless, there are reasons, because of these macro trends, there are reasons that we need to continue to be financially conservative, where we want to be very careful about how we budget and how we do things. So, again, we are continuing to give emphasis in the right areas. I'll mention this more about this in just a minute, but we want to be financially conservative. All right. What are some of the financial priorities that we should have at Super Road? I'll give you several, okay? Number one, our property, to the glory of God, he has provided for building space. He's provided for pavement, you know, paving the parking lot. God has provided for a renovation in the auditorium here. And we're at a point where, and I've mentioned this to the budget committee, we don't need to borrow. Yeah, it would be wonderful, you know, to have a big sanctuary in front and, you know, big kitchens and things like that. I realize that, and God may provide for that someday. We would rather do that on cash than borrow for anything like that. So number one, at least my vote is we don't borrow. Now, I'm glad to be voted down, but we don't borrow. That's my vote. Number two, we continue to do very careful budgeting. We want to budget low, and we're budgeting low. The budget committee has done a fantastic job watching things over the last couple years and budgeting accordingly. I have up here support others. I read this, a church put this out once, and I thought it was fantastic. They said this: in the name of good stewardship, we are not trying to compete with other ministries that are doing the very things that we do, only they can do them better. So as long as if God lays something on our heart, if there's another ministry that's doing it better than we can, if it's within our conscience, okay, we're not going to violate our conscience and yoke up with somebody we don't agree with. If it's within conscience, let's support them. And so if another sister church in town is doing something really well and God lays the same thing on our heart, why reinvent the wheel and compete with them? Let's go talk to them and try to support them. We did this with Miracle Hill. I have for a long time thought, wouldn't it be great to have a mission here, to have an overcomers program, you know? Well, that's just not reasonable where we are, you know. But there's a ministry in town doing a great job, and so we decided to partner with them and support them. So long as it's within our conscience, why compete? Unless we can make a special contribution or something. Need to be cautious making long-term commitments. What we've done, we did this a couple of years ago, we've told all our missionaries that we reevaluate them every 4 years. And so we're not making these long-term commitments without any evaluation process. More lay leadership. A lot of churches, the philosophy is, when there's a need, you just hire more staff. Need somebody to do this? Hire somebody, pay somebody. Need somebody to do this? Pay them. More and more, we want to train, equip, and encourage lay leadership. That is the vision, by the way, in Ephesians 4, is it not? Right? We, for the purpose, training people for the purpose of building up the body. So we continue to train more lay leadership. And the last one is the even bigger check, which is paying off the debt. I feel like we need to make this an even greater priority, okay? Greater priority. I won't go through all the numbers, but we have paid off the debt, paid it down at a very aggressive rate. Paying it down for a church our size, number one, to have this size debt is very reasonable. But to pay it off at $130,000, $150,000 a year is very aggressive. God's been very good to us in that respect. Nevertheless, our budget right now is something like $13,500. You know, if we paid off the debt, that would save the church something like $12,000 a month. I mean, what could we do with $12,000? Not only little upgrades that we need on the property, what could we do for the cause of the gospel? How much mission could we support with that kind of money? So I think we need to make it a special goal to pay off the debt completely. I realize, it's $590,000 is still a lot of money, but I believe God can do this. So let me ask you to do two things. All right, just two things. Very simple. Number one, prayerful consideration. I want to ask every member at Super Road, and even if you're a regular attender, would you just pray about doing something towards paying off the debt? Something. Something on a regular basis where you give a little above and beyond that which you already give. For some of us, it's giving just a little bit each week. For others, it may be taking a portion of a bonus check. For others, you may be able to do something substantial. But would you at least pray, Lord, would you have me contribute to paying off the debt? This is a noble goal. How would you have me respond? Let me say this, congregation. Number one, I'm not presuming on anything. Tina and I have prayed about this. We know what God's laid on our hearts. All I'm asking you to do is the same. So if somebody comes back and, says, I prayed about this and, boy, I don't feel like God's leading me to do that. Well, that's fine. I'm not presuming on anything. I'm simply saying, let's prayerfully consider each of us what God would have us do. Now, when I mentioned this to one of the people on the committee, they said, if you're going to do that, we ought to inform the congregation if there's any progress taking place. And I thought, well, good idea, because normally I only do it once a year here. So what we're going to do, once a month, we will put in the bulletin how much money's been given towards paying down the debt once a month. So that'll let us track it. That'll let us as a congregation kind of keep that before us. But prayerfully consider it. And if you would, keep your eye on the bulletin. And Lord willing, we'll see the Lord more aggressively pay off. And at the rate we're paying, we're about 4 years away from being debt free. I wish we were 4 minutes away from it. If Mike would write the big check, we'd be fine. I keep saying smash Hayden's piggy bank and just get this thing over with, Mike. But, the Lord knows. But I would like to see us pay it well before the 4 years, if the Lord allows that. OK, moving along quickly. Property. Here's a couple of things that we need to think about. Number one, we have aging air conditioning units. I'm just letting you know that because out of all the maintenance issues that we have at Suba Road, this one is going to require some kind of money. We have not had to replace that much as of yet, but you are going to notice in budgets and things like that, we're budgeting more money towards maintenance than we have in the past, we're going to put more money towards this stuff because of the aging units. We're in the building for about 11, 12 years now. We got units that go about 14 years, so we got to start thinking about this. Another thing that we don't have a plan to put this up. It's not a budget. These next two items are not budgeted. I'm just throwing them out, and if God lays it on your heart to give to something like this, you're welcome to do that. But two things. Number one, we'd love to put an awning, just like we have one over here, put it all the way down the sidewalk on this side and bring it out to the parking lot. So when it's raining, you know how we all pick each other up in the front? We would also be able to do that in the back. And to do that, you're looking at about $6,500. And so if the money was at hand, we'd consider putting it towards that back awning over there. It gets very clogged here on the rainy days, and if people could pick each other up at both locations, that would move things along well. The other thing that I am just really excited about here is what we put down is the front sign. The front sign, the structure of the sign is good, the stone and the block, the brick. But the sign itself will soon need to be replaced. It's pretty weathered when you get up close to it. What we would like to do, if the Lord allows this, is put a something of an electronic sign. There's some very tasteful ways to do this. And we're on Subaru Road. Do you have any idea how much traffic we get on Subaru Road? We could be advertising in a tasteful way, not an Eat at Joe's way, but a very tasteful way. We could be advertising worship services, Christmas cantata, Bible studies, and as people go by, I feel like we're really missing some good advertising on Subaru Road for some of the church events. Where this occurred to me here, there are two churches that are right next to each other. One of them has a very tasteful, well-done electric sign in another part of town. The other one doesn't. They're both nice buildings. They're both pretty conservative in their worship, conservative churches. One of them, if I mentioned it, everyone in here would know the church. The other one, maybe half of you would know the church. Because when you go by, though both churches are there, your attention is immediately drawn to the sign over here. And so we feel like a sign in the front would be very helpful. I don't know what this would look like, but here is a mock-up that Brad did, something like this, where we use our existing structure, put that little marquee underneath. Here we have egg hunts. Very hard to see up on the screen, of course. And the Subaru Road logo with the sign above it. To do something like this, you're talking about in the neighborhood of about $20,000. To get that electric sign alone is somewhere around $16,000, $17,000. Then you have to get the installation and the sign above it made. So we're looking at about $20,000. This is one of those things I think that, I hate to say this, kind of may even pay for itself. I feel like it would bring enough attention where we'd get more opportunity as a congregation. So the awning, if I had money in hand, two projects we consider. The awning is $6,500. It would help especially with the rain. And the sign, I think, would be a huge blessing at about $20,000. Now, we don't want to do either of these unless money is in hand. If we pay off the mortgage, then we would move to budget for these two items. But the mortgage has got to take priority, so we're not budgeting for these two. But if somebody feels led of God, there's two opportunities that we have. So I just put those out in front of you. Okay. Okay, some of you are looking at your watches. Hang with me. We're moving. Okay, program. Outreaches, just keep your eyes open for the outreaches that are coming. Fall Festival, Easter Egg Hunt, evangelism training, rescue mission, things like that. We have a mission trip planned, Lord willing, 2014. It's going to be early in the year towards Texas, McAllen, Texas. Juan Curling is down there. It's going to be a construction team, primarily construction. Greg Garrison is going to lead that. If you want to be part of that construction team, you can see Greg Garrison. Subaru Road Baptist Church security team. I don't have to tell you that security is becoming a real issue in public places, not only at ball games, but also at churches. And we have always had some measure of security. We have formally, in the last several months, put together a security team. Scott Bingle, where's Scott? You in here, Scott? There's Scott over there. Scott Bingle leads this team, has experience in this area. He does a fantastic job. We're just getting it off the ground. And so thank you, Scott, for that. But we just want you to know what's going on. If you don't know there's a little security team going on, they're doing their job. Okay. But they're trying to keep their eyes and ears open. And we have some policies and procedures for emergencies and things like that. Subaru Baptist Church Kids Club, SRKC. We did a whole service on this. You want to hear about the Subaru Road Kid Club? Email me. I'll send you an MP3 file. You can hear all about it. I could not say enough about this. I'm so excited about the Kids Club that we're going to be doing. A couple more things in a home stretch. Oh, by the way, that's for the Kids Club. Those are some of the cards we're going to use. Subaru Road Baptist Church secretaries. This grieves my heart to say, but both of our secretaries, and they are fantastic, are nearing retirement. Margaret has been with us 15 years. She's going to go on 16 here real soon and in September. Margaret and I were hired on the same day. That's our little thing, you know, so we're on the same day. And she's like, you've been here 14 and a half years. How do you know? Because I've been here for you. We always kind of joke around with it. But, you know, her plan is to retire after 16 years. I could not say enough about her great spirit, her love for people. She's just such a dear lady, and I'm thankful for her. She will be missed, but she is nearing retirement. I want the church to know that. Mary has been our full-time secretary for the last several years, loves people, fantastic administrator. Her gifts in administration have been such a blessing to us. She has spent the last 24 months giving a lot of attention to a lot of little details, really preparing it for the next person that may come along, and she will be greatly missed. They're going to retire to Charleston, and so I know I'm praying that that doesn't work, but no, we love you. You'll be dearly missed, and we're not only thankful you're our secretary, but Mary and Bob have been here for a number of years, and we're thankful that you serve and you worship here. So I let the deacons know several months ago, and let the church know both are nearing retirement. Worship, instruction, edification. Just a note on this. We say the church gathers for all three reasons. Did a whole series on this year. We want to continue to work on this idea of edification. How do we do the one another's? How do we encourage each other? We're continuing to think of ideas on how we can do more edification at Suba Road, building community here in the local church. All right. Last thing I'll say is this. Ministerial needs that we have, immediate needs. Number one, we always have a need for nursery workers. We have a lot of little ones, and at Suba Road, if you can help in a nursery, that would be a real blessing. So please see John Z if you can help. Children's church workers, a lot of children, okay? So Becky Griffith or Jim Wetterlin can help you there. Outreach ministries, Greenville Rescue Mission, Shepherd's Gate, the Overcomers Program. If God lays those on your heart, come see me. I'll direct you to the right people. Last thing is this. This fall, Dr. Renfro is going to be making another choir call. If you're musical, you can sing and you want to have that ministry with the choir, we would love to have you come join the choir. I wish I had time to say more about this. The choir occupies a very, very important ministry at Suba Road. When you hear the congregation singing out, did you hear this morning the congregation singing out? That's you know, partly because the choir is so involved. They're doing a great job. And we want to continue to see more people join the choir, become a member of the choir. So if you want to join the choir this fall, we'll make more announcements about this. But please see Dr. Ken, and he can talk to you about that. All right, let's stand. We'll close in prayer, and we are done. Fellowship tonight.